Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right. You are Locked On Broncos. It is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me is my co-host, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, you're ready to take a peek inside the Mile High mailbag, my friend.
I am. The sickness has somewhat left my body, so I'm still here. I'm still functional, and I'm ready to answer some questions.
Did you try eating the whole raw garlic like I suggested?
I did. The people around me were not as impressed as I was.
Yeah. That tends to be the downside to the garlic treatment. But glad you're feeling better, my friend. We are committed to bringing you a daily podcast that focuses entirely on your Denver Broncos. We clock in at least 5 days a week, and we're not here to just report the news. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So help us out. You know, retweet the episodes on Twitter, share them on Facebook, and go check out our work over at MileHighHuddle.com. We have exclusive premium Broncos content, kind of more deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there. Our subscribers get 10% off on tickets, 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. Annual premium members get a one-year subscription to Sports Illustrated included. So go check that out and follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. If you have a Twitter account, just take a quick second, find at Locked On Broncos, click the follow button. And the home of Locked On Broncos is, of course, Audio Boom. But make sure to also subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. We got another season in the books. There's still some pieces to the coaching puzzle that are getting put in place. Free agencies come in the draft. You're not going to want to miss a single episode. All right, now, let's turn to the Mile High mailbag, Luke. Let's see what's on the minds of our listeners today. We've kind of got a two-part question to start things off from Malik G, at Malik G. His first question is, in a deep tight end draft, can Denver partake? Should they keep four? And if they have to cut someone, is Virgil at risk with the new staff? I think that's a good question. Before we get to your second question, let's answer the first. Let's look at the situation in Denver right now at tight end. They have Virgil Green. What is it, Luke? One more year. He signed that three-year extension in 2015, I think. So this is his last year, and then I think he'll be gone. They have Jeff Heuerman, a 2015 third-round pick. He showed some strong signs of development in the final two games of the season. You kind of had to wonder what was going on there in the 14 games leading up to that. And A.J. Derby, whom Elway traded a fifth-round pick to New England for midway through the season. Now, Green is, he was drafted in 2011, part of John Elway's maiden draft class. And although I've always believed that he had the ability to be a pass-catching threat in the Broncos offense, no matter who was at quarterback, it's just never materialized, and I don't think that it ever will. He's a number two tight end. He's a blocking tight end. And I think that's all he's ever going to be in Denver. You know, you also have Henry Krieger Kobel, the undrafted kid out of Iowa. Has some potential, some upside there, I think. Luke, I know there are a few tight end prospects in the draft this year that are interesting. Should Denver get in on that action? And if so, do they keep four tight ends on the roster? You know, if not, who's expendable under the new Vance Joseph regime?
Well, I think you also have to take a look at what tight ends are going to play special teams for you, which I do think is pretty important to the way that a tight end really kind of has a role in the NFL these days. Is they're going to be guys who play special teams for you as well as play on offense. That, to me, is one of the biggest kind of elements of their position anymore.
Good point.
So, you know, when you look at the draft class, there are, I think, several very good prospects in the draft. Highlighted, of course, O.J. Howard. Everybody loves to talk about him, kid from Bama.
Yep.
His opponent in the national championship, Jordan Leggett, I think is going to turn a lot of heads. But you've got guys who are basically athletic receivers in Bucky Hodges, Evan Engram, David Njoku is turning a lot of heads. He's a sophomore out of Miami, super athletic kid. And then you've got a lot of nice, like, typically more like pro refined guys like Jake Budd out of Michigan, et cetera. So I think this is a fantastically deep class at a tight end, really unlike any we've seen over the last couple of years. So if you want a tight end, if you need a tight end, I think this is a good year to do it. I don't think Virgil Green is really going to be in Denver for that long. Jeff Heirman's been inconsistent. I think they're going to re-sign A.J. Derby, bring him back because he's shown some promise. But beyond that, they don't really have any kind of proven young guys. So I think they're going to have to take a guy, one of the rawer ones I should expect, bring him in. Train him, develop him, kind of work him into the mold of the tight end that you want, because by the time that he'll be ready, there'll be a role for him in this offense.
In the modern NFL, you can never have too many good tight ends. So I think that is something to keep an eye on heading into the draft. Now, Malik's second question, he says, also, could you lie to us and say that Denver will finally draft a possibly elite linebacker? I imagine he's talking inside linebackers. Does Elway only like undrafted linebackers? Now, he has, speaking to Elway, tended to draft off-ball linebackers late or sign them off the street or from the college free agent ranks. With what you know, Luke, about this year's class of inside backers, what's your answer for Malik?
Well, if you're talking an elite off-ball linebacker, man, one of the best ones I've ever seen coming out of college is Reuben Foster out of Alabama. I mean, a couple years ago, we were talking about C.J. Mosley. He was great. Reggie Ragland last year had a lot of positives. But, man, C.J. Mosley was good. Reggie Ragland was good. But this kid, Reuben Foster, is special. He is the real deal. I think the NFL is going to be far more in love with him than they really suggest right now. So I've seen some kind of projections where he's going to slip to the 20s. If so, I don't think Denver should even hesitate a bit in making that pick. He's got range. He's got explosiveness. He's a smart player. He knows the nuances of the game. He can hit. He can do it all. But, you know, when it's all said and done, I think he is a top 10 talented inside linebacker. The lucky thing for Denver is that there is some kind of good early round talent at inside linebacker behind him. So I think that really, if you're going to spend a pick on it, Elway has the ability to do so here.
You can only hope that Foster is going to be available at 20. And if he were to slide to 20, I'd be totally okay with the Broncos using their first round pick on Reuben Foster. The kid's a stud. And can you imagine that linebacker duo, Brandon Marshall, Foster, that'd be set for the next few years. So next question comes from at John Q. Common. He asks, I'm ready to see Shane Ray be a full-time starter. With the new regime in, is it time to wash the idea of DeMarcus Ware coming back? Now, Shane Ray posted, what, 8 sacks last year? I mean, he's developing into a beast. And working with Reggie Herring, who is being retained as the linebackers coach, the strength and conditioning coach, Luke Richeson, has turned him into a monster. He's got the NFL body fully developed now. And I think with Shaq Barrett in the wings, I honestly don't see, Luke, why the Broncos would want to bring DeMarcus Ware back. I mean, yeah, his leadership is phenomenal. But that only gets you so far, as we saw this year, when you're not on the field. You know, and Ware's back injury, it's plagued him now for a couple of seasons in Denver. He has been injury prone since he signed with the Broncos, let's face it. And you expect that for a guy on the wrong side of 30. And I honestly believe that both Ware and the Broncos, with how accomplished, I mean, there's nothing in the NFL this guy hasn't accomplished now. I honestly believe that it'd be best served for him and the Broncos if he just retired. Luke, do you think it's worth a few million on the salary cap to roll the dice once again on DeMarcus Ware for a fourth season?
Well,
Ray ready?
Mm-hmm. First of all, Shane Ray, I think, is ready. I think he's kind of near his ceiling right now as an NFL player, which I know is going to get a little bit of backlash probably. But Shane Ray, to me, is a guy whose best trait is his motor and his ability to just keep coming. I don't think he's really shown the ability to win consistently one-on-one on the edge. But he you know, has just enough pressure that he's kind of a distraction for the other rushers. So he'll hold his own, plays well against the run. So I think he's kind of where we can expect Shane Ray to be as a pro. Now, the flip side, of course, is DeMarcus Ware. to me, quite honestly, if you're not able to stay healthy and stay on the field, then I just can't keep you on the roster. It's, you know, this is a game where you only have 53 roster spots and only 46 of those guys are going to play every week. So, you know, no matter to me at least, no matter how impactful you can be, if you're going to miss half the season, that's a pretty big issue.
Yep.
And to me at this point, I'm going to get a younger guy on the field like Shaq Barrett. And they've got, you know, a couple of guys on the practice squad, one of whom Vontarius Dora had a great preseason last year. I'm going to get those guys kind of into the mix and see what they can do for me, because I just can't. You know, when it comes down to it, I'm going into that last game of the year. I got to be able to say, look, I know I got this guy. I know he's going to be healthy for me, and I know he's going to play for me.
Yeah, I mean, Ware was phenomenal in the playoffs last year, and it was great getting him back and fully healthy for that. But he just fell apart in 2016, and you know, if as you say, being consistently unhealthy, it's hard to try and build a plan as a team and count on certain things with your roster when the injury bug's playing that big of a role. So if it's up to me, I think the Broncos, you know, and I know that DeMarcus Ware wants to come back. You know, he put that, I think it was a Instagram post about, hey, I am coming back, don't doubt me, this and that. But I think if he does return, I think John Elway's at a point where that's going to be with another team. Now, our next question comes from @BrandonAlbert5. He asks, who are a few free agents you see Denver targeting this offseason? And this is a juicy question. But to answer it, I think we first have to kind of identify the Broncos' roster holes, because Elway's philosophy as GM has been to fill roster holes through free agency so that he can stay as disciplined as possible in the draft to the whole best player available approach on the big board. So what are the weaknesses on the roster? I think first off, you know, you got to start with the offensive line, obviously. Who knows what's going to happen with Russell Okung and Donald Stevenson, the two tackles the Broncos invested in last year. Honestly, I can't imagine that Okung comes back, at least at the number that he's currently set to make for with the Broncos in 2017, which comes in just under $12 million. And as inconsistent as Stevenson was, I think he does, for his price tag, have some value as a swing tackle, not necessarily a guy they want starting consistently, but a swing tackle that might keep him in Denver. So, but tackle is still, it's a hole that you got to look at. You move over, you look at guard, you have to wonder what kind of system the Broncos are going to run. First and foremost, is it going to be power principles under Mike McCoy, more zone with Bill Musgrave and the assistant O-line coach, John Benton, a combination of the two? It'll probably be somewhere in the middle. I think Max Garcia, as Luke intimated earlier this week, can thrive in a power system. I'm not sure about Michael Schofield. And then you've got Connor McGovern, last year's fifth-round pick, who pretty sure didn't dress for a single game as a rookie. Now, I could see the Broncos signing a guard in the free agency pool. Then you got inside linebacker. You know, Todd Davis, he didn't miss a tackle, and that's great, but I think the Broncos need more out of the position next to Brandon Marshall moving forward, and who knows, maybe that comes out of the draft. I think the Broncos also need a five-tech defensive end or two, a nose tackle, because Sylvester Williams is an unrestricted free agent. He's probably gone. What am I missing? Am I missing any holes here, Luke?
Well, no, I think you hit most of them pretty well. I think a lot of kind of fresh faces are going to be along the offensive line, where Russell Okung and Donald Stevenson could easily both be cap casualties.
True.
So I think that that's going to be an area where they're going to look to improve. I don't think the depth that they have really translates to the power scheme for the most part. Billy Turner plugs in great. I think he's going to play a role in the power scheme. I don't really see Tyson Brillo surviving this switch or really any offensive scheme at this point. He's just been so ineffective. I think Max Garcia has a lot of flexibility, and I think he's going to be a very key player in a power scheme. I think he can really play anywhere from left guard to center to right guard in the scheme. So I think he's going to have some impact on this, just kind of where he's going to be able to line up. Defensively, I do think you're going to need that second inside linebacker beside Brandon Marshall. I really think they're going to need a nose tackle, plain and simple, going into next year. I don't think Sylvester Williams is going to be back. They declined his fifth-year option. He didn't look great in the defense this past season, so I think they're going to need to find someone both in free agency and one to two names in the draft even to kind of bring in some new fresh blood for that spot, which, of course, could look very different in this defense this year under Joe Woods. So we don't even really know what that might look like yet.
True.
And from there, I think, you know, you kind of hit the nails on the head from there. I wouldn't be all that over enthused if they stay complacent with their running back squad. I think that they could go out and bring in a veteran name for cheap. I wouldn't mind one bit if they were to do that. I think that really CJ Anderson at this point is going to be a good guy who plays by committee. And I think Devontae Booker can be a committee guy too, but you know, I wouldn't be all that mad if they didn't, or if they went after a guy like D'Angelo Williams, who's going to be a free agent in Pittsburgh,
right.
Just to kind of bring him in, fill out a kind of a round table of running backs. He filled in very well for Le'Veon Bell earlier this season when he was suspended, but hasn't really played much since then. Le'Veon Bell has seen a ridiculous amount of snaps. So I really wouldn't mind a look at D'Angelo, even though he's 33. He's got some, I think, wear left on these tires.
Yeah, and he's always been in a split situation. You know, there's always been, wherever he's been as a running back, he had that one big year in Carolina, but his whole career in Carolina, he was splitting reps with Jonathan Stewart. And then, of course, he served as a backup, you know, to Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. So he might be a guy that still has some tread left on his tires. And you're going to hear Danny Woodhead bandied about. And it's possible that the Broncos go after him with with Mike McCoy as offensive coordinator. But I think his value is reduced a little bit, not having an elite quarterback who can really make the most out of him as a target out of the backfield. But let's take a look at some of the free agent names the Broncos could target at some of these positions of need to address Brandon's question. Starting with, let's start at tackle, offensive tackle. Some of the top names, Luke, you have Andrew Whitworth, Sebastian Vollmer, Andre Smith, Riley Reiff, or is it Reiff? Reiff, right? Reiff.
I think it's Reiff.
Yeah.
I think it's, no, could be Reiff.
Anyway.
Riley R. from the Lions.
Riley R., that guy. Do you like any of these guys as possible fits for the Broncos at tackle?
Yeah, I do like some of those names. I actually really like Riley R., for lack of a better term at this point. I think he's been very consistent, and I think that is something that really kind of has been needed in Detroit for some time. You know, they've really suffered to protect young Matthew Stafford, and now he's kind of in this middle of his career where they're still not entirely sure how they're going to protect him. They hit big on a guy in Taylor Decker in the first round from Ohio State. I'm not entirely sure that they're going to let Riley walk. But I do think that he's going to make some team out there very happy. Andre Smith, I'm not overly enthused by. Andrew Whitworth, I think, is good, but he's going to be on the wrong side of 35 at this point.
He's getting up there,
yep. Yep. I know one name that people are going to throw out a lot over this coming year is Matt Khalil out of Minnesota. I don't think he'll be in Minnesota next year. And people are going to say, oh, you know, he's a project, but let's bring him in. Quite frankly, Matt Khalil needs a lot of work, and in this kind of situation where you need to plug in a guy and play him, I don't see him being that good a fit at all.
And it's a shame, because he and Jokel, a couple of guys who were really high round picks, top five picks, that just haven't panned out in the NFL. Let's look at guard. You've got a couple of names to throw out there. You got Green Bay's TJ Lang, could be an option, scheduled to be unrestricted. Ron Leary from Dallas, who I honestly thought, Luke, he was a little bit older, but he's actually only 27 years old. Part of that awesome Cowboys offensive line. 27, but he's battled a back injury. You got some names like Chance Warmack, who's underwhelmed since he was drafted a few years back. Kevin Zeitler from Cincinnati. Who do you like at guard, Luke? Who could help this team when you look at that list of names of possible free agents the Broncos could target?
Well, much as the Denver Broncos have struggled on the offensive line, so have the Cincinnati Bengals on the interior in particular. I'm not that impressed by Kevin Zeitler as an offensive lineman. I think that whole interior has just underwhelmed so much that I really kind of – I would stray away from him. I do really like Ron Leary. I think he's going to make some team very happy. Everything I've been hearing in Dallas is that they're expecting he'll be gone next year, and for good reason. That offensive line has so much depth that he's going to leave. They're going to lose a starting offensive lineman and not miss a beat. I think really TJ Lang is going to be the premier offensive lineman of any position on the market this year. I just think he's going to price himself way out of Denver's range. There's going to be a team out there, you know, with crazy cap room who's going to take a run at him. I wouldn't be surprised if, quite frankly, he's wearing Browns colors next year.
Well, let's look at inside linebacker. You have a guy playing in the AFC Championship game this coming Sunday who could be an option in Lawrence Timmons. The only problem with Timmons is he is 30, and he's going to command still, I think, top dollar on this. This will probably be his last big top dollar contract as a pro. You got Dante Hightower from New England is a guy who really interests me, but the Patriots could try to bring him back with after they jettisoned Jamie Collins. Most of the big name guys are over 30. Guys like Stephen Tulloch, Daryl Smith. You got Rolando McClain, but his future's up in the air. Who knows what's going to happen with him as far as league discipline? Who could help the Broncos here, Luke, as a stopgap or even maybe someone a little bit more long term to plug in there next to Brandon Marshall?
Well, as you go through the list here, there's a lot of guys, again, on the wrong side of 30, basically. There's one guy I really do like on this list. That's Sean Spence of Tennessee at the moment. He's played with Pittsburgh in the past. I really like what he brings. He's a good special teams player. He brings some flexibility on defense. I think you can plug him in on defense, and you don't necessarily, I wouldn't say, want to start him for 16, but he can be a spot starter and situational guy for you. If I'm the Broncos, he's kind of one of those value deals that you can bring in for cheapish. Yep. And still contribute to your team.
And we've seen Elway make a lot of signings like that are initially perceived to be more value depth type signings. Darian Stewart, I point to Darian Stewart as one of those most recent guys who ended up, you know, being a starter and becoming a star. Maybe the same type of future could be in store for a guy like Sean Spence. Let's look over at defensive end. Now, the guy at this hole, the roster hole here for the Broncos that I'm personally pining for is Calais Campbell. Now, he's 30 years old, but I think he still has another couple years of some top-level production in him. I imagine him opposite of Derek Wolfe, and, you know, it just gets me going. You got Steven Pea could be an option. You know, if he's recovered from his ACL, Vance Walker is a guy the Broncos will probably strongly consider bringing back. Anyone here, when you look at this free agent list, Luke, that really makes sense for the Broncos as a five-tech, and let's just assume for now that they're going to roll out the same 3-4 defense, because we know that Elway's talked about keeping that as intact as they possibly can.
Yeah, I think Calais Campbell is the easy pick here. This is a position that is really a lot of 4-3 defensive ends about to hit the market, not so many 3-4-5 techs. One guy I think you could take a look at is Chris Baker out of Washington. He's older side, 29, but he's been an absolute wrecking ball for Washington over the last couple of years. I think it's up in the air whether he'll be in town. They need defensive linemen probably more than anything. They'll probably go that first round. So if they let him walk, they'd be silly too, because he has talent. He can still play. And I think he's going to try and look and latch on with a contender.
A few years back, guys, Broncos fans were really pining for Steven Pea in the first or second round for the Broncos. Do you remember that, Luke? Do you think he is someone who has anything? I mean, is he a guy valuable to a team like the Broncos? Could the Broncos get anything out of this guy?
Well, I think you have to remember this is the guy who has just freakish, like, otherworldly strength, breaking the bench record at the combine.
Right.
Something like crazy, like 49 or something reps. Mm-hmm. So this guy has strength for days, but to me right now, he's just been so ineffective and hampered by his injuries. I don't think he's anywhere near that potential right now. I think he's going to be best suited by a team who can throw him into a rotation and kind of bring him back along. Now, the issue is here, does Denver have the ability to do that, or is too much going to be asked of him too soon?
Good point. Let's lastly take a look at defensive tackles. Some big names. You got Quan Short. He could also play five tech. You got Dontari Poe. Going to cost a lot of money to get that guy. You know, you got guys like Nick Fairley. Domantas Peko is an option. His cousin's already on the roster. And Kyle. Abry Jones, Brandon Williams. There's a lot of names here, Luke, that are at least intriguing as possible fits for the Broncos.
Yeah, there certainly are. And one kind of further down the list, I think it's going to be interesting to see where Ledger Doosable ends up this offseason. He's 30 years old, kind of shockingly, but he's been a nose tackle for several years in 3-4 defenses under Rex Ryan. He was, you know, in New York, went to Buffalo. And then I think you got to keep an eye on Seal Versiliga is still floating around out there. Spent stints with Denver several times. He's kind of bounced around a bit, but he's definitely got experience with this organization. So he could be had for cheap if push comes to shove.
Good stuff. And thanks again, everybody, for the questions. We'll come back to the well and find out what's on your mind next week. We'll take another peek inside the mailbag. It's going to be one heck of an offseason, and we're looking forward to covering it. Tomorrow we're going to take a look at the divisional round, just kind of a quick rewind on the divisional round playoff games that happened over this past weekend, preview the championship games. But again, on this show, the Broncos come first. We are going to get to it, though. Be sure to follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. You can find Luke in the Twitterverse at Luke Polglaze and myself at Chad N. Jensen. Keep hitting us up. We love hearing from you. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network. Locked On NFL Draft in particular is one, again, that's in my rotation that I've really enjoyed the last couple weeks. Locked On NFL, great show. Don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle. Huddle.